Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. It's on page 709 and 710 in the Bibles provided. Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Good evening. It's good to see everybody here. It's a thinner crowd. I think that's not because of me, right? I don't think so. I'm gonna pretend that it's not, but it does look empty. But I'm thankful that everybody moved up. I moved up as well, Jamie, even though I was literally moving up a few minutes later. It seems like these days that there's more and more bad news to hear, and the reason that I know that the reason that I know that for me personally is because the last time. And this kind of hurt me about myself. The last time there was a shooting at a school, and it pops up on the news, and you'll hear people are starting to talk about it on social media as it's developing. I saw it and I said, "There's been another school shooting." It was just another thing to me because there have been so many, and I don't want to be that callous. I don't want to be that callous to bad news. But there's so many bad things that just fill our lives, so many bad headlines and evil things and evil people and sinful things that have happened, and I don't want to talk about that tonight, because I need, I don't know if you've been noticing this about, the last few times that I've preached, but I need to focus more on good things. there's so much bad, and there's so much temptation to get sucked into the stuff that just brings you down, that hurts you. I need good things in my life, and I need to think about good things in my life. And when I focus, there's an awful lot out there that's good, that's worth focusing on. And I wanted to talk about some of that tonight. And as you scroll through your Facebook feeds and you're seeing all the same things I am. And I stopped and I thought, what about all the good things that are there? What about all the good news? That passage from Isaiah that Vincent just read for us, that precedes, that runs right into Isaiah 53, which you know very well, which is the prophecy of the suffering Savior, and what he did for us. And by his stripes we're healed. And he was a sheep before he was led as a sheep before its shears. And he was silent. He had done no wrong. That was Christ. Jeremiah was preaching to the Israelites and saying, you need to come back to God. You have sinned. You are about to get carried away into captivity. But if you look even beyond that, there's salvation. There's salvation beyond that. Even in the bad news that was imminent to them for their disobedience, there was good news. There was good news. The Christ was the good news. And we know that because the gospel literally means good news. It means glad tidings. It means the good news of Jesus Christ. And even as Isaiah was writing that, it butts right up to that chapter that is about the Savior, about our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, which is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. If you're ever looking for something to focus on when we're taking the Lord's Supper, if you ever need to get your mind in the right spot, it's great to read the gospel accounts. Open up your Bibles and flip to any of the last few chapters of the gospels and read that. And that'll help you. But if you want something new, if you've read those a lot of times, go read Isaiah 53. Read that while the trays are being passed. Read that after you hear someone pray and thank God, to ask God to bless the cup as we're about to remember the body of our Lord and Savior. Go read Isaiah 53, because there was a man that died so that you and I could be saved. That's salvation. That's good news. And I was thinking about good news. I was thinking about my Facebook feed, and I only appear to be copying Jed because Jed preached first today, but I did grab some images from Facebook, and I mean, it's no joke. I would like to be a little bit more like Jed. You know, that okay, so it's out there. It wasn't a secret to start with, but I did have this idea a few days ago before I knew what Jed was going to do. This is a picture from our brother Manny Pagadapalli. I learned how to say it. From India, who was just here not too long ago. Occasionally, periodically, he'll post these images of people being baptized in India and talking about how hungry some of the people are over there for the gospel. And this is one image. I didn't put nine together. This is one image. And there'll be an album of multiple images like this. So you're looking at 50 people that have been baptized. And you'll say, this just happened in so-and-so province, and this is happening. That's good news. That's good news. All the terrible headlines and bad stuff that drags me down, I need to think more about this. Because this reminds me that the gospel is alive, it still works, and it is still convicting people so that they want their souls saved. I need to remember that. I need to remember that in 2015, even as the year is drawing to a close, the gospel still works. Even as many things as have changed, the society has changed and the tools, and some of you are sitting there with electronic devices in your hand and that's your Bible. Even as all that stuff changes, the gospel still works. The gospel still convicts people of sin and calls people into a life of righteousness. And those are your brethren. Chances are you've never dressed like them. Chances are you've never spoken their language. Chances are you've never been in their country. Maybe you have. I'm looking forward to going. I'm going to go with Trey next January and meet some of these brethren. I want to shake some of these brethren's hands because I know of where they live. You heard a little bit about it when Manny was here. They've worked harder for that faith than I've worked for mine. They've made harder decisions for their faith than I have made for mine. And I respect that probably not even as much as I should. But those are our brethren. Those are our brethren. They came up out of that water exactly the same as we did. That's good news, isn't it? That's amazing news. But we don't even have to go to India to find good news, do we? Because it just happened here. This is real-time sermon right here. This is the best. Carolyn put it on Facebook, so that means it's fair game. And that's the rule, right? You put it on Facebook, it's fair game. It might make it into a sermon, so be careful what you put on Facebook. But this is the best angle I could get. Praise God. Is that not fantastic? Ray, we're so happy for you. This is, when I think about this, you know, I see me. I see me because I've got two kids sitting on the pews. And I see that one day those kids are going to be, you know, as old as Ray is. And they're going to be the good example that Ray is. Hopefully, I'm teaching them so that they will be. And I'm so thankful that they got to see that. I'm so thankful that when that screen came up, both of their heads popped up and they were like, what's going on? The screen's supposed to be down. What's happening? And they're rising up and what's happening? And I said, Ray's about to be baptized. And they know what that means. North knows that means you've become a Christian. You've put on Christ. He knows that that's a really big deal. And boy, they were on their knees and they were stretching to see. And I know that, Ray, I know that you did that for your soul, but you don't know who else that has affected. I'm not even sure you do. I'm sure you do, but you don't. Because that has affected so many people. That affected my two kids sitting there because now they know that something different happened to Ray. That Ray made a decision in her life. And she put on Christ in baptism. That's good news. If you are on Facebook and you're connected with any of the people that are sharing this, I saw a few folks sharing it. That's good news. That's good news. That should make you feel good. Look at these folks right here. Are they even here? Can I use somebody's picture if they're not here? It was not that long ago. This is just, a month or so ago. They celebrated 30 years of marriage. 30 years of marriage. Esther and Bobby. That's incredible. That's incredible. In a world that is only disrespecting marriage more and more every day, this shows up in my Facebook feed. Thank God for that. Because I need that. Because I need to know that there are people. I don't know everything that Esther and Bobby have gone through. I don't know. I don't know the details of their life. But I know that marriage is hard. I know that it takes work. I know that finding somebody that you're willing to commit your entire life to is worth working through all that stuff. And to see somebody have worked through it to 30 years, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that because I need to see more of that in my life because I'm surrounded by a lot of stuff that's not that. And this is good news. And good news is good to see. And I'm so thankful for things like this. They're back there. There they are. One of the best moments of my life was when Leanne walked into our bedroom. She's holding one of those little pregnancy tests. And it was a Sunday morning. I remember vividly. It was a Sunday morning, and we had to get up early, and I'm not friendly in the morning. Like, I don't do mornings. I don't do that well. I wake up. This is my philosophy. I wake up early for three things. God, that's why I come on Sunday mornings. Camping, because I sure like camping, and roller coasters. That's it. That's it. After that, my list is I'm going to be angry and I'm going to be cranky. Those are my top three. But I was getting up, and Leanne walks in, and she comes over to the side of the bed, and she says, "We're pregnant." Now, we've been trying. We've been trying for 9 months, and we were starting to wonder, like, what's going on? Like, maybe some wiring's crossed somewhere. But it was incredible. And when I see Michael and Megan, you know, I sometimes turned 36 a couple weeks ago, and sometimes I think about myself so old, and I think about, look at those kids. They've got kids. You know, but we're the same. I know how that felt. I know how that feels. You know, mine are a little bit older, and I still try to hold them like that, and they don't like it. But I say, just do it for Daddy. Just do it for Daddy. But I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. That's good news. That's good news, because if anybody needs to be having kids, it's Christians, isn't it? It's Christians, because we need to be raising more Christians so that they can go out and the collective light can be brighter. This is good news. I'm so thankful to see stuff like this in my life, in my Facebook feed specifically. Look at this beautiful group of women. This is fantastic. This is good news, isn't it? A group of women got together to have a ladies' weekend so that they could be stronger in the faith and stronger in the Lord. Praise God for that. Thank you that they had the wherewithal and the foresight to know that that was something that would be good for them to do. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be in a congregation that fosters that kind of fellowship and that kind of bond, that kind of foundation building. That's good news. It's fantastic to see things like that in my feed, and I'm thankful for it. And I need to train myself to be a little bit better. I don't want to ignore the bad stuff, because there's bad stuff. There's bad news that needs addressing. There's bad news that needs praying about and needs, you know, worrying about and needs solutions for. I realize that. But I want to be built up by the good news. And I want you, if you slip into the same traps that I slip into and you start to feel down, I want you to know that you are surrounded by good news. You are surrounded by good news. And sometimes I just have to open my eyes to it a little bit more. Has anyone ever said this to you? They've ever come up to you and they say, "I got good news and I got bad news." Man, oh man. That's when you start weighing, like, what in the world could this be? And you're thinking about who the person is that's bringing it and what are they about to tell you. I had a guy say that to me a while back. I had heard about an open position at his company. He was a good friend of mine. And I knew that he was really happy at the company where he's working. And I figured, you know, I'm gonna hit him up and see if there's some possibility that maybe I could get over there and work in his group. And he's a little bit older than me and a little bit more senior, but I would have loved to have worked for him. And so I texted him. And I said, heard there was an open position. And he wrote back and he said, "Well, I've got good news and bad news." And I was like, "Oh, that's not good." And he said, "The good news is it's on my team." The specific position was on his team. And I was like, "Yes." And he said, "The bad news is we're filling it right now." And I was like, "You should have just said the bad news. Don't take me way up here and then just slam me down to the ground." Maybe he doesn't understand the way good news and bad news is supposed to work out. They're supposed to balance each other, you know, right? So there's one of each. But his was just mostly bad by the time the text was over. But quick show of hands. Somebody comes to you and they say, "I have good news and I have bad news." How many of you want good news first? How many of you want bad news first? What did you say, David? Get it out of the way. So I respect the differences in opinion of people who want good news first, but I'm pretty sure it's objectively wrong that way. I respect the opinions. It is completely subjective. Me, I need the bad stuff out of the way first. I need the bad stuff out of the way because I gotta end with the positive. I've got to end with the good. And when I think about when I think about the gospel and I think about good news and I think about all the amazing things that you just saw, that in my Facebook feed, the amazing things that are often very, you know, related to you folks, related to Christians, my brothers and sisters in Christ. But when I think about the gospel, there are, the good news of the gospel is intrinsically related to bad things, intrinsically related to a lot of bad things. And I want to walk through a few of them with you. Here's some bad news. An innocent man died. That's bad news, isn't it? Innocent people don't deserve to die. Innocent people don't deserve to be treated unfairly. They don't deserve to have bad things happen to them. But an innocent man died. Hebrews 12:2, one of the most baffling verses that I have encountered in the entire Bible. He says, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. This is the part that I struggle with. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Which part was the joy? The part where he's being beaten? The part of the scourging? When the whip was hitting his back? Was that the joy part? What about the ridicule and the mocking as the people were walking by and deriding him? And, well, you know, come down from the cross. You know, you said you were the Son of God. Which part was the joy? Getting spit on? Was that the joy? Was that the happy part for him? Which part was the joy part? But that's what the Bible says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I would like to think that in the moments that Christ was feeling the pain, that he was thinking about you and me. I want to believe that. I know that he was probably feeling the pain, the literal pain. I know that he was. I know that he was, because he was human. I know that he was feeling the blood flow down his head from the thorn of crowns. I know that he was feeling the blood on his back from the wounds. But I would like to think that this verse is possible, that this is true, because he was able to focus on why he was doing it while he was going through it. And I hope that that gave him some comfort as he hurt. I hope that gave him some comfort as he was abused, as he was getting what he did not deserve. That's bad news. That's bad news. And that is intrinsically linked to the gospel. That is an imperative part of the gospel, because there is no gospel unless that innocent man died. And that's hard, because the gospel means good news. The good news, the good half of that, is that he didn't stay dead. He endured all that, but did not stay dead. I love Luke's account of the women going to the tomb to dress the body, to care for the body of our Lord and Savior. He had told them that he was going to rise after 3 days. He had told them. They knew that. They knew that on paper. Anyway, they didn't know it. They didn't know it in here. They didn't completely understand what that meant. But they go to the tomb, and in Luke's account, the stone was rolled back, and they walk in, and there were two men, and he's, why do you seek the living? There was more that was said. You read the first five verses of Luke 24. But it's that question. He said, why do you seek the living among the dead? They were at a tomb. They were at a tomb for a man who said, in 3 days I will not be in a tomb. But they showed up. They showed up to take care of his body. Now, he didn't say it specifically to them, so maybe I should be a little kinder to the women that actually showed up. I don't know if they heard that through the apostles and through the disciples that followed him around. But Christ did make clear that he would raise after 3 days. That he would rise after 3 days. They did not understand that. They did not understand Christ's mission until the day of Pentecost. They didn't even understand it as he was ascending into heaven. They thought that he was about to make Israel a great nation again. And they said, are you about to sit on the throne again? But he was going up to heaven. They didn't understand. They understood by Acts chapter 2. But there is a lot of understanding that is gained between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell on those men on the day of Pentecost and they preached that first gospel sermon. But they walked into that tomb and he was not there. So the bad news is that an innocent man died. But the good news is that he did not stay dead. Bad news. We disappoint God. We do. Maybe you do so less than I do. But I do. I disappoint God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, ever heard this verse before? This verse hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Because who's it talking about? Me. It's talking about me. When I read this, it's talking about me. And I beat myself over the head sometimes. We were talking about this in our Ezra class. It is not hard to stand up and do what's right. It's not hard to go against the grain and stand for Christ. It's not hard. We make it hard. It is not objectively hard to do it. We make it hard because of the people that surround us. We make it hard because of the way we feel about others. We make it hard because it might affect our jobs, you know, or our comfort. You know, and again, I go back to thinking about our brethren in India and the discomforts that they are going to feel in some of those communities that they live and work, where they've got, you know, 90%+ of the population is Hindu. And they're an anomaly. They're an outlier just for believing in the Christ. But we make it hard. And I stop and think sometimes, and it's always after I have not done what I should have done. I stop and think, why did I let that go? Why didn't I stand up and say something? Why did I just remain quiet? Sometimes that's usually what I'm most guilty of, just staying quiet. Because you know what that is? Easy. It's real easy to do that. It's easy to say nothing. It's easy to hear people celebrate sin. It's easy to hear people, you know, hold up that which is evil and ungodly and just be quiet. Because that might cause an argument. Or that might cause... I'm getting better about it. I'm trying. We were talking in class this morning, and you know, one of the small things that the world seems to do so much, and even folks that don't have any care in the world for God, they sure like to throw his name around. Right? Oh my! For you pick it. For whatever ailment, whatever toe they just stubbed, you know, whatever they're excited about. Because that's the thing about it's a pretty versatile phrase, vain phrase. It's a pretty versatile vain phrase. You can use it when you're hurt. You can use it when you're happy. People just throw it around like it means nothing. Like it means nothing. And there's a whole lot of words that are thrown around that I don't employ. But I need that one to hurt more. Because that's the name of my Creator. That's the name of the Lord God Almighty. And I've tried to start sneaking in little things when people say that at work, and they'll say it about something frivolous, and I'll say, pretty sure God doesn't care about that report. Pretty sure he doesn't. And I try to say it in a slightly disarming way, you know, so as not to cause a complete confrontation, but maybe get somebody to start thinking about what word they're using. You know, and Christians do it too. Christians do it. And sometimes we try to disguise it, and we just type OMG. You know, God knows what that is. God knows what the acronyms mean. Sometimes I don't know what the acronyms mean, but God knows. God knows what you're typing. He knows what's behind that. Be careful with his name. Be careful with his name. We talked this morning in our class about how careful the Old Testament scribes were when they were actually writing the name of God. They would wash themselves before they wrote his name. We need a little bit more of that care with our God's name, don't we? We disappoint God a lot. That's the bad news. The good news is that even though we disappoint him, he wants us back. That is the good news. That is the good news that you can be happy about every single day. Because every time I do one of those things that I kick myself for, and I don't speak up, and I don't take the stand that I should, I get to remember the good news. And I get to go to God, and I get to fall on my knees, and I get to say that I'm sorry. And I know that he brings me back. I think about 2 Peter 3:9, and I think about the fact that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want anyone. He would be thrilled if hell was empty. He would love that, because he doesn't want anyone to die. He doesn't want anyone to be separated from him. And this one as well, Revelation. You have to remember also that this is at the end of the letter to the church at Laodicea. The letter that has the strongest language used in condemnation of their actions. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. It shouldn't be this way. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, depending on what translation you're reading. That's what God said to this congregation. A congregation like us. You know, the Avondale Church of Christ. The Laodicean Church of Christ. It was a congregation of the Lord's people. And a letter was written to them. A very, very strongly worded letter. But at the end of this letter, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know what that means? It means the door is never locked. It means it's never shut so hard that you can't open it again. It means that God is waiting there for you, regardless of how I might disappoint him. He's always waiting. That is amazing news. That's incredible news. So despite the fact that I drop the ball on my faith sometimes, and I bring reproach upon Christ sometimes, and I don't stand up and fight for what's right, despite all that bad news, God wants me back. He wants us back. His hand is extended, waiting for people to come back. Last one, bad news. Life is short. And maybe some of you are sitting there thinking, maybe that's not so bad news. It is bad news. This is why. This is why it's bad news. When you're a child, you do not understand this. You do not understand this. This concept means nothing to you. You hear adults, you hear old people say it, and you're like, well, what is morally? It doesn't mean anything. It's just, they're just making that up because they don't understand. They obviously have been led down a wrong path in thinking something so ridiculous. Because life is long when you're a child. You know, and this was brought to light yesterday. We were driving back. We went down to Columbus to spend a few days with our families. My little cousin just got married a while back, and they had a few weeks ago, and they had a reception at the congregation where she and her new husband worship. And so we were going down there to be a part of that. And we were driving back. It's 2 hours. It's 2 hours in the car. That's not long, right? That's not long. It's an easy drive. Leanne and I understand that. So there were two children in the back. I tell you, we left my mother's house and my parents' house. And I always think about my mom because she's always the one standing there crying, like, well, you know, like she never ever sees us. I love my mother so much. She's going to listen to this and I'm going to get a talking to. We had not left her house 5 minutes. And we're getting on the entrance ramp to the freeway. And North said, "How much longer?" And I said, "Are you kidding me, son? Like, what are you talking about? How much longer? We just started. It's a lot longer, like a whole lot longer. If you are now asking how much longer, it's a lot longer." That to him, life is long. Like, life is very long. I mean, we even got to the point where we had to threaten. "Don't ask that question again. Don't ask that question again, or you're going to lose everything you own. Like, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with that question. I can't deal with when can we have more crackers. I can't deal with it." There were threats in the car. This is supposed to be a nice, kind family, short ride home. But to children, life is long. Life is very long. But as I get older, and I see pictures, and I see Liam, and I see these other babies, I realize that it's moving fast. I realize that it's moving faster every day. And I see, you know, my children. I see one starting school, and I see, you know, the other one that is sleeping in a big girl bed. You know, like, these things bother me. Like, we went to sort through some old Thomas trains the other day because they're not played with anymore. And I was sitting there looking at these silly little wooden trains, and I'm starting to tear up, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what's happening? And I was being taught a lesson. I was being taught a lesson that life is short. That's what was happening to me in that moment. And life is short. James says that. It's but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. If you think about God being eternal, and it's hard to think about God being eternal because everything in our lives is governed by time. And everything has a beginning and everything has an end. And so it's really hard to wrap your mind around what eternal means. But if you think of everything that he's seen, we're a blip. Individually, we're a blip on the radar. When you try to wrap your mind around why God feels about death, you know, that he's not as upset by death as we are. That it's just a part of it. You've got to remember that God is eternal, and he sees that there is so much more. And this is just a speck. This is just a speck. And the eternity part, that's the part that he dwells in. See, I don't even know how to talk about it. I don't even, because I don't understand eternity. I've read about it. I've read the word in the Bible a few times. I've heard some concepts about it. I know that it doesn't end, but there's nothing in my life to give me any sort of reference for that, because everything begins and ends in my life. But God is eternal. And so our life is vapor. It just disappears. You ever written anything on a foggy mirror and you turn around and turn back and it's gone? That's our life. That's what happens. It's but a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. So that's the bad news, because I like it here. I like you guys. I like my children. I like holding my small baby children. I like that. And so for me, there's a part of the life is short thing that's bad news, because it's moving really fast. It's moving really fast. But this is the good news part of it, that Jesus is coming. I don't know when. You don't know when. The people that predicted online don't know when. No one knows when, but Jesus is coming, and I know that because he promised it. And there's nothing else that he promised that didn't come true. So I know that I can count on that one too, and I know that Christ is coming. 2 Timothy 4:8 is Paul. Paul also understood that life was short. You know, he understood that he was coming to the end of his, and he understood that there was a crown of righteousness that was laid up for him. It was going to be given to him by Christ, by the righteous judge. And he said, not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. And that's what I want us to think about as we wrap this up tonight. Are you going to love his appearing? Because for a Christian, that's the good news part of that equation. The bad news is that life is short and it's going to end. And you have no guarantee about the length of yours. But the good news is that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. He may come in your lifetime. He may not. You may be one of those that rises from the grave and goes on to meet him in the air and goes before the people that are still here. That's the order that we have in the Thessalonian letter. We know that that's how it's going to happen when Christ returns. I don't know if I'm going to be alive and walking around when I hear the trump sound. I don't know if I'm going to be able to hear that. I don't know if I'm going to see the elements melt with fervent heat. I don't know. I kind of like to be. I want to get into a place where I want to be there so badly that I'm okay if that happens right now. I'm okay if that happens tomorrow. In fact, that would be great. Shouldn't we live that way? Should we? I think that we should. I think that we should, because I plan a lot. I plan a lot for here, and I plan for careers and retirement and all this stuff, and those are good. Those are good. Not bashing any of that, because you don't know. You might live 100 years here on this earth, and you might need a little bit of money to do so. But I want to look forward. Have you ever prayed to God that he would come sooner? I've started doing that a little bit more, because I would love it if he did. I would love it if Christ would come. Let's go ahead and get it over with. But are you ready? Are you going to love his appearing? You know, I wanted to end with this verse. I love this verse so much. For our citizenship is in heaven. So often we're tempted. This is a sermon for another day, but we're tempted to be so many things before we're a Christian. You know, we're tempted to be an American first, or a Republican first, or a Democrat first, or this and that first. And you are a Christian first. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are a Christian that happens to be American by some stroke of luck. Well, let's call it luck. By some stroke of event, you happen to be American. But you're Christian. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. I'm Christian, and then I'm white. It works that way too. I am a Christian before I am anything else in life. And if I understand that, if I fully understand that, then I am going to be eagerly awaiting. Because I'm going to be ready. And I'm going to be thrilled to see him. I want to be thrilled to see Jesus when he comes back. I want to be excited when the clouds open up, if that's how it's going to happen. I want to be excited when the clouds open up and he comes back and we rise to meet him in the air. I want to be excited about that. I don't want to be sitting watching the people who were eagerly waiting and who were ready going on. I don't want that to happen. That scares me. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be excited about the fact that Christ is coming back. I want you to understand that that is good news. That there is a whole lot of bad news in your life, but the church The church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood is your source of the best news that you could possibly have. And it negates, and it trumps, doesn't negate, it trumps all of the bad stuff that you have to encounter. You're going to have to deal with some bad stuff in your life. I'm going to have to deal with bad news in my life. But because I know the good news, and because you do now too, it's okay. I can endure. I can make it. I can get through, because I'm really looking forward to that day when I get to meet my Lord and Savior. I hope that you are too. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not a citizenship. Your citizenship is not in heaven. And you can fix that. You can put Christ on in baptism, and from that moment, you can then be excited about Christ coming back. But if you haven't done that yet, then it's the bad news that's the only part of that equation that you're worried about right now. That life is short. Life is ending. Life will end. Sometimes it ends naturally, and sometimes it ends tragically. We have no way of knowing. But if you are Christ's, if your citizenship is in heaven, so be it. Whatever, let come what come. It's okay, because I'm excited about meeting my Lord. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there's nothing stopping you. Repent of your sins. You've disappointed God. I've disappointed God. But his hand is outreached to you. He's calling you. He wants you to come to him. So repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the stuff that belongs here on earth, and focus on him and go toward him and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're sure that he's coming, and I promise you that he is, and I don't believe me, I promise you because he promised you. That's the only promise that counts. Mine means nothing. But if you believe that, then put Christ on in baptism and be excited about the fact that he's coming back one day. And be excited about the possibility that even tragically, you get to meet him. That should be comfort. If you've strayed, if you've gone back into the world, God has never, ever locked that door on you. He's knocking. He just needs you to open it. If you need to put Christ on in baptism this evening, or if you need to make things right with God so that you can be excited once again about Jesus coming back and getting to meet your Lord one day, please come while we stand and while we sing.